Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Friday. Brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, we talked about it before we went on the air today. You're going to look back and you're going to say, what in the world did we let occur? And I'm talking about the Jags. I'm talking about the Titans. I'm talking about the Texans last night, three in a row now. When you remember back in week three, it seemed like Tennessee was ready to deliver the knockout punch to the season of Indianapolis. Now, an 0-3 start's not the death knell necessarily, but not often do you climb out of that to make the postseason. Well, this year in this division, who knows what you'd be able to overcome. But, you know, Tennessee had them down by two touchdowns late in that game. And they turn it over a couple times, and Andrew Luck's able to rally him in the fourth quarter. But then, you know, you go to Hasselbeck, who we didn't know at the time, but you find out is sick during the game. He's in the emergency room, as we found out yesterday. He doesn't practice all this week. It's a short week. They said he looked like warmed over death. They signed Josh Johnson. They thought they're going to have to play this guy at some point. They didn't know if he'd make it through the game last night. And they stoned J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney all night long. And really, I mean, Hasselbeck, for the most part, not getting hit all that much. He had to move off his spot a little bit. Got the ball distributed pretty nicely. Good call by you, T.Y. Hilton, over Dante Moncrief. We talked about that one yesterday on the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast. But Andre Johnson returning to Houston, who had done nothing. Seven catches for 51 yards through four games, had six for 77 with a pair of touchdowns last night. And on top of that, caught a fourth down pass around midfield. They kept the sticks moving for Indy as well. It's a game, honestly, that the scoreboard doesn't even reflect how lopsided it was, because you had the Jalen Strong Hail Mary at the end of the first half, and you end up 27-20. I never really felt like the Colts were threatened in that football game once they intercepted Ryan Mallett on that first drive off the hands of Arian Foster, went down, got a field goal. I just didn't think they're going to lose a game from any point beyond that.
No, neither did I. And, you know, watching Matt Hasselbeck last night, Houston had no answer for Matt Hasselbeck. I mean, it was ridiculous watching it. I think his total QBR, I looked at it this morning, he wound up with like a 92.
Quarterback controversy.
In that game. Like 92. So they're saying that his performance was better than all but 8% of games played since like 2008 at the quarterback position in that game last night. And Hoyer's was something around 90. In the game, I think, when everything was said and done. But it really is about the opportunity that the AFC South and the other three teams in this division have blown here in the last 3 weeks.
It really is.
Because I think the fight for, however you want to put it, second or fourth in the division is going to be interesting. I mean, because the difference between these teams right now, I don't see very much. And you watch these back-to-back games for the Colts, at least the Jags, and it's the more frustrating part for Jags fans and has been all week, you outplayed them. Right? I mean, you outplayed them. We've talked about the difference in that game last weekend all week long. You beat that Colts team. You looked like the better team throughout the majority of that game against that Colts team and found a way to lose. Houston got beat.
They did not look like the better team.
Right. I mean, they got beat at home on Thursday night.
DeAndre Hopkins looked like a superstar.
He did.
But beyond that.
But he has all year.
Right. No, I mean, I'm saying, beyond that.
Hopkins is that guy.
Right.
Right. And he's so much better with Hoyer in as opposed to Mallett. But it's Hopkins is that guy, and everything else, you're like, where, like, people who talked before the season about the Texans as a playoff team, where did you see that? I mean, honestly, I get it. J.J. Watt is a phenomenal football player. I get that. But you looked at those two quarterbacks, and you thought that that was a playoff team, and Arian Foster is going to be out. You don't know how long to start the year. He's back in the lineup. He looks okay for the Texans last night, but nothing special. I mean, they weren't as good as that Colts team with Matt Hasselbeck as the quarterback. It was an embarrassing performance, if you ask me, for the Houston Texans. And what it sets up in the South going forward is just deja vu, where everyone's looking up at the Colts again. They were 0-2, down big against Tennessee 3 weeks ago. Now they're 3-2 and looking down at everybody else who's got no more than one win. Right now, nobody else has more than one win in the division. They've won three in a row, and they got a game up on everybody because they've beaten everybody in the division. Now, two of them on the road.
I'll give you the positive outlook on it if you choose to take that route. We're not trying to pump sunshine. We're just saying here's the other side of the story. They've got New England coming in next week.
Yeah.
Okay. God forbid they beat the Patriots, okay? With whoever you have at quarterback. Let's assume New England wins that game, right? And the Colts are now 3-3. Well, if the Jags go out and take care of business the next couple of weeks against the Bucs and maybe the worst team on their schedule by the looks of it, the Houston Texans. I mean, mm-hmm. they looked worse than most teams I've seen. But
they're going to have 10 days to get ready, though.
True. Well, let's say the Jags win those couple of games. And no guarantee. Neither one of those is a guarantee. No guarantee they even win one. But let's say they do. And they're sitting there at 3-3. Then, you know, look, you're still, you almost give yourself no margin for error because the Colts are 3-0 in the AFC South. They've built up not only a head-to-head over you, but a head-to-head over everybody. So they've got half the division race under their belts. Jags need to sweep Tennessee and Houston have any chance to stay in this race this year, and they're going to have to maybe go 5-1 ultimately in the division and beat the Colts here in Jacksonville later in the season.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts outside the division haven't been very good. We just shared that set. They're 14-12. That's okay, right? They got the, as you mentioned, the Patriots coming up as their next game, and it certainly looks like they'll probably be 3-3 after they get done with New England. So if the Jags can find a way to win these next two. And that's what we talked about before the Indianapolis game. It was the opportunity that's in front of Jacksonville going to Indianapolis and knowing that Andrew Luck wasn't going to be playing that game. I mean, it's just, it's all out there for you. And to outplay that team the way that they did and still find a way to lose that football game, it ramps up the importance even more of the game against Tampa. I mean, we've been talking all week about, if you thought this team was going to win six, how can you not expect them to beat Tampa? Like, where do you see six wins if they don't beat Tampa? Well, if they find a way to beat Tampa, now a lot of things come back into play. Because then that Houston game becomes crucially important again. It's almost the same as the Indianapolis game. It's a get well, get your season back on track, but you have to find a way to beat Tampa this weekend. And the young guys on this team need some kind of repeatable success, and that's the biggest disappointment coming out of that Colts game, is however they win it, however they find a way to win that game, you got a bunch of young guys that are trying to learn how to win, and you had the opportunity maybe in these 3 weeks to stack them, and instead you blew the first opportunity when you outplayed a team.
You know, and if you beat the Colts, on one, let's say one of those field goals go in, and they play just like they did last night, you look up and you're like, wait a minute. We held them down pretty well, right? They just went on the road and put up 27.
Yeah.
We held them to 13, and had the Jags won the game, it would have been 13 points because that's what the Colts were on until they kicked the game-winning field goal. And all of a sudden you're thinking, you know, what? Maybe that victory, as close as it was, isn't as, you know, bad or just average as we thought because they're getting the job done with Hasselbeck at quarterback. And as Hasselbeck put it, he had a lot of, I forget the exact quote, but I'm paraphrasing, he had a lot of stuff coming out of the attic and the basement this week, okay? He described himself as being on his deathbed. He took IVs every day this week, including two before the game, to get fluids into him because he was sick as a dog. Said he couldn't even address the team at a team meeting.
Yeah, he looked awful after the game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, talking to the media, it was like, oh, gosh.
I mean, but
let that guy go.
You get adrenaline going, and he got it done last night, man. I'm not happy about it. Would have much rather the Houston Texans somehow stumble their way to the victory last night because I don't think it'd be sustainable for the Texans. But here's where we stand right now. Go to Tampa. Win this week. That's all you can control.
Win.
Take care of this ball game. Get the 2-3 and worry about next week. All right. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We'll take your calls throughout the course of the next 2 hours. If you'd like to get on board at 641-1010. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, 904-641-1010. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Fat Tony. You can throw Tyler a tweet in there at 1010XL Tyler. He is, after all, the reigning FanDuel champion in our league last week at FanDuel.com/Mike. Don't get comfortable at the top of your perch there, Mr. Devitt. We'll also hear from Gus Bradley, Bob Babich, a number of others as they met with the media yesterday. Gus Bradley from the Gus Bradley Show last night, every Thursday at 6 p.m. here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Friday's brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. We're just kicking this thing off. Glad you're a part of it. Our question of the day, same as it is every Friday. What are your three keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week? You can tweet your answers. You can text them. You can post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, and of course you can call us at 641-1010. Live at Everbank with Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
First of all, I mean, 2,000 fans, that's outstanding.
I think it's going to be more than that. The Bold City Brigade is like taking over a parking lot.
This Bold City Brigade now, they're unbelievable. You know, to get that numbers to go to Tampa. I mean, I know our players, we talked about it in a team meeting. We will, you know, just about the support, and our fans are coming out. You know, I've said that. They're amazing. They deserve more. So that's what we hope to do.
The Tampa Takeover in effect this Sunday. We've been waiting for this, Tony, for months, ever since the Bold City Brigade put on their thinking caps and organized and trip en masse down to Raymond James Stadium. 2,000, I think, officially part of the Bold City Brigade contingent that Cap helped put together. But what we've heard from Old City West, who runs the St. Augustine branch of the Bold City Brigade via his Twitter feed, is that around 8,000 tickets sold to the 904 area code.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be like it's like a college rivalry game almost this weekend down there. As far as just the number of fans that are going to be in the stadium from the opponent, you don't see that a lot in the National Football League. And I'm sure there's going to be for the Tampa and Jacksonville markets, which is, I'm sure, the only places where this game will be on.
Correct.
There'll be some fans in Tampa going, what the hell is going on? There are this many Jaguars fans.
Hey,
in our
they
stadium.
Doubled our attendance
right.
This week. Look, I hope they feel that way, and I hope the Jag fans have a lot to cheer about on Sunday. I'll tell you this, Tony. As you know, last night I got to do a show on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I do a lot of shows on the Fantasy Channel, but the guy Casey Stern, who hosts the show called Late Hits, is doing Major League Baseball postseason work right now. So I got the chance to do the postgame show for Thursday Night Football, and I'll do it again next week. And I didn't know if the opportunity would really come up, but I didn't want to go on and be all like, you know, Jacksonville, shove it down their throats. It's a national audience, but it was pretty cool because with about 20 minutes left in the show, guy calls up and, you know, I'd mentioned I cover the Jaguars and la-di-da, and I'm taking calls about different teams all throughout the show. And this guy calls up from Tennessee, and it didn't come across like he was trying to be a snarky Titan fan or anything like that. He just said, look, what do you think about the prospect of a team moving to London ultimately? He goes, I think, you know, Jacksonville, Miami, Tampa, or New Orleans are going to move to London one day. And he gave his reasoning why he thought that was going to happen. So I got a chance with a national audience to go off for about 2 or 3 minutes on just what's happening here in Duval County that people don't recognize, don't care to recognize, don't care to look into.
Sure.
And really talking up the fan base in particular. Because, look, you can't point to the record of the franchise because they haven't won many games. They won 9 games in the last 3 years coming into the season. But in terms of the organization, what Shad Khan has done, the guy who called in, called him Shaka Khan, by the way. Still learning, all right? Still learning in Tennessee. But it was a great, for me, it was a fun opportunity to preach the gospel of the true believers here in Jacksonville, which have, just honestly, what fan base that has won so little in such a period of time would have such rabid, passionate fans that are just ready to take this trip with thousands of them for a team that just took a poop in the bed against Indianapolis. I mean, seriously, Tony. And I blew right through the break. I didn't care. I was going long. And I just got to preach the gospel a little bit. So it was fun last night. And I can't wait to see it, man. I think it's going to be spectacular. I hope they give us some good crowd shots because we don't get to go to the game ourselves on Sunday.
Hope they got reasons to. I hope the Jags are scoring points and they have to keep going to the Jags fans in the crowd.
And will Bold City Batman have the grappling hook out? Will he be boarding the pirate ship? Right? Will he be forcing some of those pewter pirates down there to walk the plank? That's kind of what I'm hoping for. I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but pretty impressive display from a fan base that on the field has not had a lot to cheer about.
Yeah, and your coach said it. You deserve better. Look, and they've addressed that in that locker room, and I think that's, you know, you've had some interactions between fans and players this week on Twitter, and I think the players recognize it too, that the effort they gave up there in Indianapolis wasn't close to good enough, and that they expect more out of themselves. Hopefully that starts this week. And look, we were just talking about scenarios for how they can get themselves back into this season. There's an opportunity here for this football team. I'm not convinced that they're going to take advantage of it. But there is an opportunity out there for that football team, and it starts this week down in Tampa. You can get things back in the right direction if you win football games. And with a young team that's dealing with a lot of injuries and all this different stuff going on, you never know what this team... We don't know what this team looks like when it's confident. We don't know. Like, we have no idea what that looks like. That locker room confident... No idea what that means, because we haven't seen them be able to have any kind of sustainable success. Now, that's on them. That they haven't had it is on them, and they have to figure out some way to correct it.
By the way, that's on you right there. Sexton just came by to shut the door. I believe that one's on you today.
I'll take it.
Usually that's on me for bellowing here in the radio studio, but Brian Sexton very politely just came in and gently closed the door on us, which is kind of a weird dynamic anyway that we leave the door open in a radio studio.
We do.
You know, if you don't have your radio on, don't worry. You can hear us down the hall here at Everbank. So anyway, like you said, the fans do deserve more, okay? And I hope the players, because look, I get it. You know, your players, you want support and all this stuff. But as the fans always say, and you hear it all the time, those players are being paid to play. We're paying for the privilege of watching you blow games right now. And that's, we hope that turns around and it's not like that, but that's where we are. And it's not just a four game situation or one game. It's years now that it's been going on, whether it's all one regime's fault or not. The fan base suffers through all of it. They're the one constant in the whole thing. So, you know, give them something to be proud about down in Tampa this weekend. You should certainly be proud if you're a Jaguar player to see the kind of representation you're going to have on the road traveling down there. It's not like there are a bunch of transplanted Jacksonvillians down there in Tampa.
No.
You know, they're just walking across the street to the stadium. They're making the drive for hours to go see you and, you know, make the trip worthwhile for them and for yourselves. Let's get to some more thoughts from Gus Bradley. We got Johnny O coming up. O knows. We'll stop by here in about 10 minutes or so if you want to get on board. 641-1010. We got the lovely Donna Murphy running the board right now for us back at
no,
XL World Headquarters. Are you back?
Unfortunately.
I was slow to read the instant message. It said Donna's here. I was like, oh, I was all excited. We got rid of Devitt for a few minutes. All right, let's get to Gus Bradley and find out what he had to say. Talking yesterday, you talk about haven't seen this team with confidence play, you know, because they haven't earned the right to go into a game brimming with the confidence of victories. Also haven't seen this team near close to complete from what they envisioned, because injuries have kept a lot of key guys out. It's not an excuse. Happened all around the National Football League. And again, Indianapolis able to go out with a 40-year-old sick quarterback and win their second game in a row. So nobody's going to feel sorry for you. But Gus Bradley on the Gus Bradley Show last night talked about the high number of injuries that the team has faced this year.
Every team has injuries. And, you know, some teams have more than others. And I think what we look at, and I think I mentioned this last week, where we've been fortunate is some of the injuries have taken place where we do have some depth. But the challenge is, like our safety spot, where you're going into the game with really three, you know,
yeah.
And you've got your fingers crossed that you can stay healthy throughout the game and, you know, make it through with three. So, you know, that's the challenge. But you know what? We've got three, and we like those three. But that's the, I think, the fatigue part that you're talking about, the, you know, the concern that says, okay, how are we going to be all right through this
right.
game?
Yeah, and look, they're going to have to deal with that again this weekend going down to Tampa. It looks like Cinderic Marks and Julius Thomas are getting closer to being able to get back on the field for this football team, but Marks is probably still a couple weeks away. Thomas looks like at the earliest it'll probably be Houston, although I guess there's still the very, very outside chance that he could play against Tampa this weekend, but we'll find out more about that later today. So they should be getting some of their big guns back over the course of the next 3 weeks or so. Gus Bradley last night on his show here on 1010XL with Jeff Loggeman also talked about AJ Cam, and that's a guy who came in third round rookie, getting the opportunity to step in for Brandon Linder last week. Linder obviously out for the rest of the season now after being put on IR with that shoulder injury. But Jeff just asked him how he did stepping in against the Colts.
He did a nice job. I mean, for the first time starting, getting in there. And like you said, hey, Brandon Linder was a very good player for us. So it's unfortunate that, you know, he went down. But AJ gets an opportunity, and AJ played pretty well. There was some communication. I think I mentioned that this week, that we got to clean up these communication errors that took place. And, you know, the offensive line, the quarterback, the communication that takes place there, that was a part of it. But, I mean, overall, the body of work, pretty good day.
More from Gus Bradley here momentarily. I got this tweet in from Eric Soriano, and he said, aside from the 8,000 from Duval County, some UCF buddies of his in Orlando say they expect a huge contingent of Bortles fans to make the 45-minute drive as well. So,
man,
hey,
Tampa wants Jackson on the schedule every year.
Pile on, man. You know what? All you UCF Knights down there, and hop right on board and join your brethren down there in Teal.
That's what I say. When Tampa comes up here, we don't see these kinds of crowds,
I'll take $2,000 from Orlando, make it an even 10,000. That'll be all right.
Right?
We'll take that, man. Are you kidding me? Yeah, the Tampa doesn't know what's about to hit him on Sunday. Gus Bradley continuing the talk about A.J. Cannon, where he fits in on the offensive line, talked about continuity. We always hear about how important that is with an offensive line working in harmony, taking a lot of reps together, and with a new guy, A.J. Cannon, coming in, expected to play a bunch now. What do you think about the continuity going forward?
When we talk about the continuity of the offensive line, you really want to build continuity where these guys have played with each other. They understand the communication that takes place. When you insert a new player, sometimes that changes. And even on double teams, you know, Logs, you're hitting a double team with Jeremy Parnell and Brandon Linder. They kind of have a feel when to come off and work to the next level.
If I remember right, I saw a double team to where I think one guy hit the other guy.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite timed up right.
Right. So, you know, that's the part that the more that they get a chance to play with one another, and that's where AJ, the challenge was because he was on the left side. Now he's moving on the right. So where he used to work with Luke Jokel, now he's working with Jeremy Parnell. So those timing things you've just got to work on. And as they play next to each other more, those things will be rectified.
Usually teammates blocking each other is more the purview of the Florida Gators.
Yes.
But so you don't want to go down that road if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars or really any football team. So try to avoid that. Hit the guy in the other uniform is one of your primary objectives as an offensive lineman. All right, more from Gus coming up a little bit later on. But we've got the O-Zone. Johnny O, John Ocher, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. He's going to pop in next and preview his thoughts on what we got coming up in Tampa this weekend with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You want to get in today? 641-1010. That's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. We'll get to some of your texts later. Send your tweets in. Post on Facebook. You can do it all to communicate with the show. We'll get it out there for you. It's Jaguars today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you Jaguars today every Friday. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, joined by Johnny O from Jaguars.com, a senior writer. How are you?
Don't just buy a Cadillac, Mike. Buy a Claude Nolan.
Buy a Claude Nolan Cadillac. Why would you settle for anything but the best?
I love that ad. I really do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
No, I'm being serious.
You're kind of the Claude Nolan Cadillac of website writers.
I am. If not for that small matter of finances, I'd probably drive a Cadillac.
I'm sure you would.
I mean, it's just that little detail.
No, that one small detail. Maybe if you upped your selfie game a little bit.
Life's all about the details, Mike.
Yeah, you know.
It really is.
That's part of it, man. You watch how much of the game did you see last night?
I had it on and I watched, you know, it's two division games, and obviously you're watching because the Jaguars just played the Colts. They're going to play the Texans, and it looked like what it looks like the AFC South is going to be this year. Kind of a division that may not be won by a double-digit team, a double-digit win team, and it still looks there for the taking. I'm not sure there's going to be very many games in this division that there's a quarterback kneeling at the end, or, you know, in victory for me, you know, where teams are running out the clock. It looks like it's going to be some clunky, ugly games.
Boy, it's just, yeah, it's just such a shame, though. Yeah, every single team, each of them in the AFC South, have to just be kicking themselves. Even the Texans last night had opportunities in that game. You know, the ball off Arian Foster's hands stymies what could have been a touchdown drive to open the game. And who knows? You put a touchdown on the board early, maybe you're playing differently, you know, and the way it goes. We all know what happened last week and even the week before with the Titans. And
you couldn't shake that. Watching that game last night in the foot. And I usually don't do this because I've been doing it long enough where you put the other game behind you. But when you're watching, when you're watching that game at the end, you couldn't help thinking 4 feet wide. I mean,
right.
4 feet to the left, 4 feet to the right.
Right, and then you got to win, and then you know all of a sudden you say, all right, well, it's a win against Matt Hasselbeck. Well, then you're like, well, wait a minute.
Right.
He just took him on the road, sick as a dog, and he won again in the division. And then maybe you'd say, that's not as bad of a contest as we thought
it
was.
And it doesn't feel the same to say, Well, I lost in overtime to that team.
No, who cares?
Right. So
you
it's,
lost. You might as well have lost by 40, honestly, when it's all said and done. So.
And you prevent the chaos from continuing where 3 weeks ago the conversation about the Colts wasn't just what's going on with Andrew Luck and why isn't he playing as well as he did and he's a turnover machine and all that stuff going against Tennessee. It was also coach and GM and the rift between these guys and are they going to be able to survive this season with the way things are going. Well, now they've won
now,
three in a row.
They're scrappy.
Right.
they love
that's
each other.
It. But that's why, like when fans say it doesn't matter if they won or lost that game last weekend, they're terrible anyway. No.
Yeah.
The dialogue changes when you're winning games. However you're winning them, the dialogue about your team, the way you feel, everything changes with victories and the Colts are a picture of that this season.
Yeah, not to mention the standings. I mean, that's what changes primarily. So, all right, it's behind them. They can't do anything about it. On to Tampa this weekend. And how many Jag fans are really going to be there? We were talking yesterday, the 2,000 from the Bold City Brigade directly, but around 8,000 tickets sold to the Duval County area from what we're told. And somebody who has friends down at UCF said there's a bunch of Blake Bortles fans that are making the trip over from Orlando that are going to go there, too. You could be talking about 10,000 people.
A lot of John Oger fans.
That goes without saying.
I don't mean to be that guy who toots his own horn.
You know we do the pregame show. You're the only guy that draws a crowd. It's the same six people every week, but that's better than anybody else gets.
It's a tough group, too. It's a remarkable thing that, we don't talk – too much about the fan base on the show because you're talking about football, but it shouldn't be overlooked that from day one, as soon as this game was announced, there has been a bubbling, a gurgling of, this was going to be a neat deal led by the Bold City Brigade because they do a good job of getting the message out, but that it's going to be a Jaguars heavy crowd. And that's a neat thing because, too often, and I'm not a big guy on worrying about what the national media says about this team because I still believe all that stuff takes care of itself once you win. But for people to believe that there are not passionate fans about this team who are, over the top. I was in Indy for 10 years, and I never heard about anything like this in terms of that sort of thing traveling.
Caravan,
to
it.
Yeah, I mean, so, good for them. Over 5 years of being here, I've gotten to know some of the people involved who are heavily into the Bold City Brigade and other people who travel and fantastic people, fantastic passion, and unique. So I think it's going
to
be neat.
What are you looking for on the field now from the Jags to get over the hump of bridging the gap of moving the football to scoring the football and then from scoring and getting field goal attempts to getting into the end zone, based on what we have this week? We know Julius Thomas not likely to play. So based on what they're working with right now, what are you hoping to see different in that regard?
So much of it I know from covering the league is just about at some point the young guys grow up and start doing it better in the 20, from the 20 in. Now, that's a long-term answer that at some point, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Blake Bortles, T.J. Yeldon, that group will get better down there. In terms of specifics this week, A-Rob in the red zone feels like something that is close to happening. 50-50 balls, or don't miss the blocks on the runs that happened last week at times and get T.J. Yeldon in the end zone. And it's tough because it's such a huge issue and they're so close to being on it and they're so close to scoring down there when they're there. And yet you're also talking last week, one or two plays missed and you're talking about a huge difference and it's one or two plays. So is it a trend or is it a little thing that happens? Blake Bortles talked on Wednesday about he had Mercedes on a route on, I think, the drive where Allen Robinson had caught the long pass. And he just threw to the, made that split-second decision, should have thrown to Mercedes, threw to Hurns. Well, that's what, he needs to throw to the right guy and get it done, and so to parse it down and talk about overall things, just make that play.
The plays that are there to present themselves.
It would stand to reason that if it's going to get better this week, it's going to be maybe Mercedes catching one, Allen Robinson catching one, because A-Rob is so clearly a guy who you believe over time is going to be a really good red zone player. And as things get going, the running game, I thought, improved last week. So the next step in the running game is, okay, you've run, you've got 140 yards, TJ got 100. Now get it when you're down in there and you make that key block and you score standing up.
Tampa only behind Miami and Cleveland in terms of yards allowed on the ground per game so far through the first month of the season. On the other side of the football, Jags didn't get much pressure with four. They got more as they sent five and occasionally six. Young quarterback, do you sit back and say, hey, I'm not going to give him those one-on-one opportunities on the outside with these big receivers? Or do you say, you know what, let's force him to speed up that clock a little bit in the pocket and let's send a few extra guys and see if he'll throw a few our way?
Well, you talk about a good question.
I spent all night carving that one out.
Yeah, nice job. In all seriousness, that's the dilemma because, yes, there's no question you should feel more comfortable blitzing Winston than you would Hasselbeck. The book says, okay, you blitz the old guy, but also you also know Matt Hasselbeck's smart enough to see it and that he can take advantage of that situation. So you would think there'd be more blitzing. At the same time, you don't want to completely overdo that and I give up big play. So I anticipate a little more, but this is a team that historically over the last 20 games has gotten pressure, not blitzing as much as maybe the fan watching would love to see, but they've been effective for the most part when they've tried to do it. So I think there'll be some frustrating times with this team where people watch them and go, why aren't they blitzing? Well, because if you do it every time, then it's not going to be as effective as if you do it when you feel like you're going to do it effectively.
This question may sound
in the
simple.
Right situation,
right.
I guess.
This question may sound simple, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you think they win?
I do. At the same time, I get what everybody says. There's no game right now where you feel like, yeah, absolutely, there's no way in the world they're going to go. Because they haven't shown that yet. But I think that they showed enough offensively for me to think that they're going to go get opportunities and get points. Now it's just about the red zone. So yeah, I think they'll win, but I'm not gonna bet my car on it.
No, look, they have as much.
Especially about a Claude Noah Cadillac, I would.
Well, come on. Once you have that, you're done.
I turn it in.
I think they have an equal chance with Tampa. Like you said, you can't expect, even right. If you pick them to win, it's not like you're expecting in the sense of, yeah, I feel really confident about this kind of thing. They're capable of doing it. They're capable of beating Houston. They're capable of beating, I think, a lot of teams on their schedule.
And that's the thing. That's why the big pause. It's like, okay, yes, I think they're very capable of winning this game. I think they should win this game. Are they young enough to do, or are they inconsistent enough to have a stretch where they blow it? Yeah, they did on Sunday.
Yeah, that's the thing. Based on their inconsistency, and this is all semantics, it doesn't really matter, but I don't know if I look at it as they should win this game.
Right.
I look at it as there's an opportunity there. It shouldn't surprise you if they do, but I don't put them in the should category
right.
yet.
Because I guess they're in that situation where I know we talked about it on Monday. Watching the game this past Sunday, sat in the press box for 3 hours thinking, if I had to pick one of these teams that are better, I'd say the Jaguars are a better team today. And yet, all the stuff that they've done wrong all year showed up enough for them to lose. So this was a game where I thought they played well enough to win, and I didn't feel bad having picked them, but they didn't win. So they're still at that stage as a franchise, so until they're past that stage, it's hard to pound the table and say they're going to win. But, yeah, I think they win.
All right, John Osier, senior writer for Jaguars.com. How are you getting down there? Are you taking the bus with the team?
No, I'm going to fly.
You're going to fly to Tampa?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I'm going to go however the team goes.
Oh, are they flying? I guess they are flying. What am I thinking about?
Unless you have news, I don't.
No, what am I? I don't know what I'm even thinking about.
Yeah,
like
do
that.
Routine.
We talked to O'Halloran yesterday. I forget. He's not allowed on the team plane. I'm kidding.
You're darn right he's not.
Well, he's driving because, to get a flight to Tampa, a lot of times you got to go through Atlanta.
Right. From my perspective, I would drive. I really, right after the game, it's pretty much nonstop riding for a stretch. So to lose that 3.5 hours, I'd be, it would just be a mess on Sunday. I usually ride on the team plane or ride on the bus. So it's hard to, if I'm actively driving, it's hard to do anything.
What do you have coming up on Jaguars.com between now and Sunday?
Ozones and, you know, just preview for the game. And today we'll be updating, any final thoughts on Paz or Derek Marks, Julius Thomas. I don't expect to know much on Paz until over the weekend.
The other guys you're not expecting this weekend, right?
Marks and Thomas, no, I'd be surprised at this point. It just didn't feel the last couple of days like it was trending in that direction. But
same with Marquise Lee, I would assume.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about him this week.
Right.
No, I mean, not to be snide. It just
out of sight, out of mind.
When he comes out and doesn't practice on Wednesday, and there's not a whole lot of buzz, it feels like they're at least shutting him down this week.
Does indeed. All right, John Osier, you can check him out on Twitter, of course, at John Osier, and you can catch him on Jaguars.com and multiple times a week right here with his Oh No segment on Jaguars Today. Thank you, man.
All right, guys, thank you.
All right, there he goes. He's on the team playing, Tony. They're letting him on the team playing this week, which is nice for John. Didn't realize that. Silly me. All right, coming up next, this Dayton football, the Honda drive around the NFL, and a lot more with you as well. 641-1010 if you want to get in today. That's the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line as well. Looking for your keys to victory today, tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. It's Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. This date in 1938, Tony, the Cleveland Browns and Chicago Bears played a penalty-free NFL game. Woohoo!
Yay!
1989, Art Shell became the first black head coach in the modern era, and he debuted with the Oakland Raiders with a 14-7 victory over the New York Jets in his first game at the helm. That happened in 1989. Famous birthdays for this date. How about Mike Singletary, Samurai Mike, 57 years old today. Former, of course, Chicago Bear middle linebacker as well as head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. 10-time Pro Bowler, 7-time first-team All-Pro, which is pretty damn impressive, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 1998. Happy birthday to former Jaguar Pete Mitchell, born on this date in 1971, 44 years young today. I know where Pete was the night before the Buffalo playoff game in 96, Tony. I'll never tell. I'll never tell, Mitch. It's okay. Your secret's safe between me, Tom McManus, and whoever else he's told the story to. Tony, Pete Mitchell is, to this day, 11th on the all-time Jacksonville Jaguar receiving yardage list.
Okay.
I need the entire top 10 out of you. You get 3 strikes maximum. Who you got?
Jimmy and Keenan.
Number 1 and 2.
Mercedes is 3rd.
Number 3.
Maurice is 4th.
He is 4th.
Fred Taylor is 5th, I believe.
Fred is 6th.
So Kyle Brady.
Kyle Brady is 5th. I'll give you 1 strike if you got the top 6.
Cecil.
Cecil 7.
Matt Jones.
Matt Jones is 9.
Reggie Williams.
Resolution is 8. You only got 1 to go.
Ahead of them.
I don't think
Sims Walker did enough.
Clean sweep here. Come on, Mike Sims Walker's 13th.
Shot at Ernest Wilford.
Ernest Wilford. Ding, 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 ding. Fat Tony runs the table. Top 10.
How
almost
close
in
was Mike
order,
Thomas?
By the way, Mike Thomas was 12th. You had them all. You had all the bases covered. Very well done, sir. By the way, for the people that were bemoaning not bringing back Cecil Shorts early in the season, you notice him on the field last night?
Nope.
Hell of a guy. Can't stay out of the training room. Cecil Shorts the 3rd. That does it for this Dayton football history. Brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, for your home, for your place of business. If you have roofing concerns, you need it checked out. Maybe a re-roof or repair to your existing roof. Whatever the case, call 287-7756. License number CCC056797. That's Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, and that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Indianapolis Colts extended a handful of streaks last night. They ran their AFC South winning streak to 16 consecutive games that they have won against divisional opponents. They won their 3rd game in a row, all in the division, to improve to 3-2. And backup quarterback Matt Hasselbeck won his 2nd consecutive start, this one on the road in Houston, to get the Colts over the 500 mark for the first time this season and propel them into a familiar place. That's 1st place in the division. Andre Johnson caught his 1st touchdown pass of the year last night for the Colts against his longtime team, the Houston Texans. Followed that up with a game-clinching catch on his 2nd touchdown tonight as the Colts won 27-20. The Houston Texans and head coach Bill O'Brien will not commit to who is going to be their starting quarterback following last night's loss. Ryan Mallett left the game after having the wind knocked out of him, never got back into the game as he watched Brian Hoyer throw for 312 yards and two touchdowns in the loss. Hoyer was picked by O'Brien to be the Texans starter coming out of training camp. He lost the job somehow to Mallett. Mallett was pulled from the Texans game last week in the second half in favor of Hoyer, and then came the events of last night. O'Brien said he needs to watch the tape before he makes any kind of decision.
Yeah, the actual soundbite said, Brian, I have to watch Brian, I have to watch the tape, we haven't decided Brian. He mentioned Hoyer by name three or four times, didn't mention Mallett a single time. Brian played pretty well, with the exception of that last throw. Brian did this, Brian did that. I'm going to have to watch the tape. Did you notice Brian threw for 312 yards last night? What a horrendous decision by Brian Hoyer on that final pass.
That was bad.
Tony, he's sitting there in the pocket. It's third and two, if you didn't watch the whole game. And somewhere where? Around the Colts' 40, 35-yard line? Somewhere
in there, yeah.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. It's third and two. It's four down territory. It's the first play after the two-minute warning. You have all your timeouts left. You're going to go for it on fourth down, because even if you come up short, you're going to try to hold the Colts and call your timeouts. And he's got all day in the pocket. And the pocket finally starts to collapse. He's getting pressure from the right side. And he heaves it up right down the middle of the field like a little pooch punt. It was. Mike Adams almost fair caught it. It was so unbelievable.
It was bad.
It was horrible. Just throw that one somewhere. Take the grounding call. Move to fourth down. You got to live to fight fourth down. And then, of course, what about Pagano? Just letting Matt Hasselbeck chuck it deep to T.Y. Hilton. It's third and six. You've made the Texans burn their first two timeouts.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? We're going to let Noodle Arm sling it down the field here. And he connected with T.Y. Hilton and put the final nail in the Texan coffin last night. Here's a story I want to weigh in on, Tony, because I don't want people to think that we're avoiding talking about this. Obviously, up front, it's pretty plain, if you listen to this program at all, to know that I'm a FanDuel endorser. I'm a paid endorser for FanDuel, all right? So you can choose to color my comments in that light, if you will. I mean, that I'm not hiding anything from anybody. Everybody knows that anyway, if you listen to this program.
Sure.
But I just want to put that out there front and center, because there's been a lot of talk about the legality and the ultimate future of daily fantasy sports, and then we find out yesterday a class action lawsuit's been filed by a guy. It's been filed in federal court in Manhattan by a guy from Kentucky who says, hey, I deposited $100 into a DraftKings account, and I want my money back because I didn't know I was playing against essentially professionals, as how he felt. Now, here's the deal. Guy wins a couple of weeks ago, second place in FanDuel's Sunday Million contest, which is $1 million first prize. Second place is worth $350,000. This other guy, I'm still not quite sure on the details of this, but this other guy, the guy who won it, there was something about him posting ownership statistics. What I mean by ownership statistics, what percentage of people playing the games own certain players from the National Football League on their fantasy teams, on DraftKings that week. Why is that important? Well, if you have a feeling like, let's say these five guys are all equally likely to score 20 points, you want the guy that is not only the cheapest, but you want the guy that is less owned by everybody else, because if that guy does score the 20, or maybe even exceeds that, it's not going to benefit nearly as many teams. If he's 1% owned, that means you're gaining ground on 99% of the field if he outperforms his cost per point, okay, without getting too technical on this. Now, the guy files the class action lawsuit. He says, I didn't realize I was playing against DraftKings employees in some of these contests, or employees from other websites like FanDuel that were playing at DraftKings. Well, to me, if you want to contend that they have some proprietary information, and that DraftKings has vehemently denied that this has been the case, that this guy had access early to these statistics, and then he used them to extrapolate similar ownership rates on FanDuel, and that he took advantage, and that's how he won $350,000. If that's what your contention is, I don't know. I'm not behind the scenes with DraftKings or FanDuel, for that matter, so I can't tell you about that. But if your contention is, I'm going to file a class action lawsuit because guys who consider themselves professional fantasy players are playing in these contests, and I didn't realize I was going up against pros, well, it'd be like someone entering a poker tournament saying, oh, wait a minute, Daniel Negreanu entered this one? That's not fair. How can that be?
Right.
You play. Look, if you didn't think that these guys are winning, that's how they get their jobs with these companies. They become really good at it, and they have an eye for it. Joe Pisapia, who we have on the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast every Thursday, did just that. He was a really good daily player and a good fantasy writer at the same time. FanDuel hired him to be on the staff and pump out strategy articles and information and things like that. And he does a show all about FanDuel on SiriusXM. And, you know, look, for me, I go into it. I've talked to in person or interviewed three of the guys who've won $1 million in daily fantasy contests. These guys are basically professionals at what they do, but it's not something that's out of bounds. They're math whizzes, and they do create algorithms, and they come up with, based on how much different guys cost, the odds of him having a big week, and how many lineups I'm having, how to best maximize their lineups. Doesn't mean they're guaranteed to win every week. You and I can pick a team of 10 players or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
And if our guys outperform them, that's the bottom line. End of story. When I go into it, and this is me personally, I don't go into it thinking I'm going to win $1 million. I think I'm going to go into it, I want to win money. I want to win more back than I put into it. Because I know, for instance, the guy who won $1 million, the first $1 million winner 2 years ago, went out to Vegas. This guy gets crowned as the champion. It was a Sunday contest. They had finalists all season long. He wins $1 million. He then decided, hey, I'm going to capitalize on this, open my own fantasy website, which he gives advice on how to attack these games. Well, I have him on my fantasy show every Friday. I have him on this afternoon. Last week, he played 412 different lineups.
Yeah.
Right? You can't compete with that. Well, you might get lucky and compete with that.
That's what you're doing.
But that's his prerogative.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look, to me, it's open to everybody. The only question I have is there an edge on information that's not available to the public? If there is, that's an issue for whether it's FanDuel, DraftKings, or any other daily fantasy site. But if it's simply a case of these guys are too good at it,
yeah,
it seems to me like, did you think, you know, for millions of dollars on the line, that there aren't going to be some people that take this seriously and then truly make it their job? These guys' job is to play fantasy football.
They didn't make
football.
It like a weekend adventure. Like most of us, like I enjoy playing on the daily fantasy stuff.
I might
like,
have $50 in FanDuel every week.
Right. I enjoy it. And I do it because I enjoy it. I don't consider it like this is my job is to play FanDuel this weekend. And if I don't find a way to come out on top by $1,500 this weekend, then I'm down. Right? Like, I don't look at it that way. I look at it as, I'm going to put in my $15, and we'll see what happens. You know, and I enjoy watching it over the course of the weekend. You can't expect everybody to play it the same way you do, and I don't. I know there's guys out there that, this is how they make their living, is writing and playing these kinds of things. It's cool with me. It doesn't bother me at all.
If you scrape together the $10,000 to enter the main event in the World Series of Poker, right? Wouldn't you be you'd be happy if you cash? The average person would be like, oh, wow, if I could double my money or whatever it was. You certainly love to make the final table. You'd love to win first place. And there is an occasional Chris Moneymaker who comes out of nowhere and does that.
Sure.
But more often than not, you see guys who are professionals and they do this a lot. And to them, $10,000, heck, that's probably fronted by a backer, right? So it's different. You and I'm not going to spend thousands of dollars to enter all these lineups every single week.
No.
But I feel like, as long as I feel like the contest is above board, and by that I mean I put in my guys, nobody knows what the outcome of these games are going to be and how the statistics are going to go. It's impossible to know. So if my team performs, I'm going to win,
yeah,
whether it's the top prize or somewhere else along the line. I just wanted to address it because I endorse it. I encourage people to play it. I think it's a good company. I know the founders of FanDuel. I've met them. And everything that I've gotten from them has been first class. The Jaguars have a sponsorship deal with FanDuel, obviously. FanDuelville, right? Formerly the Clevelander area here at the stadium. Lots of teams around the NFL have it. It's legal in 45 states to play. You can argue, is it gambling? How is it different than anything else? Well, the law's funny that way, right? I mean, how is one substance that gets you intoxicated legal and the other one isn't, right?
Sure.
There's a lot of politics at play. And will it always be that case? I don't know. But for now it is, and I don't have an issue representing FanDuel, and I'm proud to be an endorser of theirs. And I'm sure the DraftKings people feel the same way, and I can't speak for what goes on behind the scenes in either company. But as far as I know, there's nothing that keeps me from feeling good about asking you or giving you the opportunity or exposing you to the opportunity of playing at one of these DFS or daily fantasy sites. So it's just a big story that's been out there. We talk about it a lot, obviously. I wanted to at least touch on it before we moved along today. All right, that'll do it for that. We'll come back. We'll hear more from Gus Bradley, Bob Babich, as well as the Jags get ready to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this Sunday down in what I call South Central Florida right now. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, it's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Speaking of which, by the way, had to see this on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Got this one in from the 386. Party of six, going with the Bold City Brigade, leaving Saturday, dot, dot, dot. And they followed up, and we're driving our Claude Nolan Cadillac CTS coupe.
Nice.
Very nice. There you go. Cram them all in there, half dozen of you. Have a great time, and hopefully you cheer on a victory for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars Today continues in a moment, live from Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor since 1905. Claude Nolan Cadillac, serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida. Well, why? A lot of reasons. Largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville with absolutely no dealer fees. All part of the Claude Nolan edge that you're going to get and you're not going to find it anywhere else. An on-site body shop that'll paint and repair any model. Claude Nolan Cadillac, guaranteed to offer you the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance, the experience of driving a Cadillac one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com. Visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Stop in, tell them Mike Dempsey said hello and sent you in. They're going to take phenomenal care of you. 642-5111, the phone number for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Our number, 641-1010. Let's go out to the phones, Tony, for the first time today, and welcome Dean to Jaguars Today. Good morning, Dean.
Yeah, Mike, good listen to you. I'm on my way to South Central Florida right now for the Jags.
South Central, baby. You be careful down in South Central. They're rough down there.
Yeah, just because of my schedule, I don't get much chance to listen to your show as much as some of your other hosts on 1010, which you guys do a great job across the board. But I just want to get your perspective as we start the second quarter here of the 2015 season. I mean, you know, the Jags, like I said, there's a lot of talk, but someone said, I think, on sports on TV one time, we are what your record says you are, though. And just your perspective, you know, we've lost to a perennial division winner. We've lost to the team that sets the pace there as far as Super Bowl contention. And we've lost to a team that's off to a 4-0 start and will beat a team that's fired their coach. So what's your perspective as we hopefully get a victory here in Tampa and then beat a division rival the week after and then but it'll go to London and beat Buffalo, which I'd like to get your perspective on that, Mike.
All right, Dean, thank you for the call. We'll start off with this, Tony, in that you are what your record says you are. This is the National Football League. There's no power poll that determines who gets into the playoffs. So you can talk about, hey, we lost to this and we lost to that and we lost to the other. And that's one way of looking at it. That's a positive spin on it, certainly. And I don't use spin in a negative context here, but
no.
Carolina's probably better than we realized, right? 4-0 now through the first month of the season. Jags could have won that game. You beat Miami. I'll take the win however it comes. You're not going to beat New England, but you would have liked to have been more competitive. And then you should have beaten the Colts. That's the one, really, I think that burns. You know, it's funny. We had a guy tweet us earlier today. Stop talking about scenarios. Wait until they do something. Well, we don't do that. We're on here every single day. Are we supposed to wait until the Jags? What are we supposed to do? Say, hang on, guys. We're just going to sit here. Tony and I will talk amongst ourselves and see if the Jags can rip off three in a row. And
well, you know, we could start talking draft scenarios if that's what
nope.
people really want us to do, right?
I mean, we could.
Is that what everybody wants to hear?
Brugler put one out yesterday,
right?
By the way.
Right. You want to, at the beginning of October, you guys want us to already start talking about who they could potentially get in the draft? Because I don't want to talk about it yet. I'd rather talk about the opportunities this team still has out there for them. And look, I get that there are fans out there that are so frustrated with where this team is right now, where this franchise is right now in year three under Bradley and Caldwell, that there's nothing you can say that even sounds remotely positive, like even like an outlook like they might win a game that they'll appreciate right now. I get that.
And you're a sunshine pumper. Right.
I get that part of it. But the reality is they can beat Tampa Bay. That's the reality. And I've said it all week. The fans that are out there, if your expectations before this season started were for this team to win somewhere between 6 and 8 games, then I guarantee you Tampa Bay was one of those 6 or 8, right? I guarantee you for those fans, this game was a game that they expected to go out there and win. I don't think because of what's happened through the first 4 weeks that you have to change your expectations about that. for fans that think that they should be able to go beat Tampa, that's what they should think. And if you look at the statistics and you say Tampa Bay's 30th against the run this year, then they ought to be able to run the ball against Tampa. And if they can't run the ball against Tampa, then on Monday we need to come in here and rail them for not being able to run the ball against Tampa.
Sure.
Because they ought to be able to. And I feel like we've been fair about that this week. They should have beat Indianapolis. And we've said it all week long. We said it on Friday when we left, and Matt Hasselbeck was going to be the starter. You got to win that game. And the discussion about this team has been in the light of them not being able to pull that off all week. Doesn't mean I don't think they should beat Tampa. I still think they should beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We said on Monday, Tony, it's an inexcusable loss. But what does that mean exactly? Well, it's one that you just are never going to be comfortable with. It doesn't mean, okay, it's inexcusable, so we're not going to play the next 12. No,
right.
They're going to play the next 12. They're going to play this one Sunday. And I think you're right. We try to be fair, right? There are things that we don't try to spin it positive, but we point out here is the reality. If you win against Tampa and you win against Houston, you get to 3-3. Well, the Colts have New England next. If they lose that game, they're 3-3.
Yep.
Then you're back at the top of the division. And granted, I'm not saying you're likely or guaranteed to stay there, but isn't that so much better than what it's been the last couple of years through six games to be right there?
No.
With a 500 record?
No, and it's hard to expect him to win the next two because you haven't seen him win two in a row in a while, right? It's just hard to expect him to beat
Don't
Tampa
expect,
Bay and Houston,
but
right?
Capable.
But they ought to be able to beat Tampa. And if they beat Tampa, then let's see what happens against Houston. Now, it's step one at a time, right? I mean, they have to find a way to go win this game in Tampa. And as we said last week, I don't care how. I really don't care how. I don't care if it's 6-3. Doesn't matter. Find a way to win and just give this team an opportunity to get back to whatever. Look, do you think they expected to be 1-3? Right? You think guys in an NFL locker room when they're going to play Matt Hasselbeck, I don't care how old you are, how long you've been in this league, you know. They knew when they took that field on Sunday that their expectation ought to be every week, but especially a week like that, this is a game we got to have.
Right.
We got to win this one. You think they don't feel that pressure, feel that mounting up on them? I guarantee you they do. And now they get an opportunity this week, kind of like they did against Miami, to have that game where it's, all right, we want to show much more who we think we are in this locker room. That's what this game in Tampa Bay to me is about. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to do it, but I expect them to win this game.
And we'd all love to see 34-10, right? But like you said,
absolutely.
Just win it, right? Just win it. I'd rather nitpick the flaws in the glow of victory, right? Because, again, you are what your record says you are. And if you get the 2-3... Well, they don't take those wins away because they weren't aesthetically pleasing
enough.
Yeah,
I don't care.
That's how you get. You get the win, you move on, and you play the next opponent. So all you can do is go out there. You can't – look, we wallow in it for a couple of days because it bugs us, right? As much as it – look, I'm sure there are long-term season ticket holders, forever Jaguar fans that it's never going to – the disappointment we feel will never approach theirs. I'm not trying to say that we're hurting more than you out there, but we want it to happen for all of you, for the team, for all of us,
sure,
as well, selfishly. Everybody wants it to happen.
And as far as the caller, my perspective on the first four games of the season, not good enough. I mean, that's my perspective.
I agree.
It's not good enough, and I don't care how many injuries they're dealing with. They haven't played as well as I thought they would.
I could deal with 2-2 had they beaten the Colts, because that is a game that I truly felt they should have won. And with a team that's only won 9 games over the last 3 years, there are not many games that you point to and say they should win this game. You can say they can, but should they? They should have won that game,
yep,
last Sunday, and you're never going to get that opportunity back this year. Doesn't mean you can't find another route to overcome it, but you've made your job that much harder. 641-1010. William, you're next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Fellas, finally got talked off the ledge, man. I am so tired of being the laughing stock of all my football buddies. I'm not really into fantasy football, but I am into fantasies. And I tell you, looking at this last four games we've had, obviously Carolina's got their stuff together, so that, you know, you can lose that one. Miami, you think that's a quality win in week two, but then you see that they're not really together and they've got their coach fired. Yeah, so the Patriots, that's a no-brainer. You're not going to win that game. I mean, maybe 1 in 1,000. And then finally, the Colts, they should have won, but they didn't. And I'm just losing faith in this coach, and I tell you, as far as fantasies go, my fantasy would have been, I'm Shad Khan last Sunday. And I'm standing on the tarmac waiting for Gus Bradley. And when he comes down off those stairs, I got his new uniform. It's a Roar cheerleader outfit. For all his enthusiasm and all of his positivity, that's about all it's giving me for my win. He's got to go.
I would.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't agree with you. Certainly at this point, I'll say that if it keeps going in this direction, he's going to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I totally understand the sentiment from a Jaguar fan that feels that way, you know? And we've talked about this, I think, until we're blue in the face this week, Tony, that, you know, I think Gus's comment, and I know he tried to explain what he meant by it, but that it was just I forget how he phrased it, a fun game to play and a great game to be a part of. No, you lost the game. It's not. It can't be that. It shouldn't be that.
We talked about it on Monday. If it had to be a yes or no answer right now, is Gus Bradley the right guy to be the head coach of the Jags?
Right now, the evidence says no.
Yeah.
He's 8-28.
Right. If it's a yes or no, it's a no right now. And going into that game against Indianapolis, we talked about this 3-4 game stretch and how important it was going to be for these guys. Look, they're 0-1, and it's even worse than 0-1 because of the way that one happened. And now you have to respond. It's no more we're going to learn from this starting with Tampa. It's we found a way to beat Tampa. Let's go get Houston. That has to be the attitude inside this building going forward.
All right, let's get one more in before we break. Leo, you're next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Thank you, gentlemen. Hey, Mike Dempsey. Hey, I'm going to ask something. Tony, are you fat? That's kind of mean that they call you. You're not fat, are you? That's like, tell me that's a play on words. Like, you're not really big, are you?
It's an ironic nickname that Mike gave me when I started.
Okay, because you don't sound like a fat guy. Anyway, I called to say...
Hey, Leo, how's a fat guy sound? Give us an example. How would a fat guy sound?
Come on, dude. You just know it
when you hear it? Is that what you're saying? Maybe it sounds like rawr, rawr, because his mouth is full of Snickers rawr, bars rawr, or something.
Yes, you know exactly what that was.
All right.
That's not what I call. But look, here's what happened. Okay, I think last week I called in and I said Colts was a must win. I looked at the line at one point. It was like 9. I said that there's no way. Now, Jacksonville is averaging 15.5. Tampa Bay is averaging 13. I'm going to look at numbers like you all been saying, algorithms and numbers. If we're not favored by 2 or 3 in this game, and we're scoring more, not by much, but a little bit, and if they win this game, at least we can say we're the best team in Florida. We beat Miami. We beat the Bucs. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. This is another must win. I don't want to hear we got beat by the oldest quarterback and then the youngest quarterback. They need to win this game just to prove that, hey, we are relevant. These type of games you really have to win. The Bucs are in limbo right now. You have to go out there and beat them. I'm not on the Gus Bradley, get rid of Gus Bradley chain, but I will say this. I really do believe in the young players on this football team, and I think what's going to happen is all these guys y'all been talking about, not y'all, but, you know, you hear people calling in, oh, Bill Cowher's getting the house here. One of these big-name coaches is going to look down at this team and this roster because there's no way you're going to keep having all these leaders. Blake Bortles, hey, right now Blake Bortles is like 11th or 10th. Y'all can say what you want about him. He's only like, what, 6 touchdowns behind the leader. I like Blake Bortles, and I like a lot of the wide receivers. I think it just has to all come together. So I'm looking for a win this week, guys. I think it's going to be 17-14 Jacksonville. Later. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. I'll take 3 zip, man. I'll take 3-2.
I'll take 15-13.
I'll take a forfeit if they don't want to show up. I don't care. Just come back with a double.
Just play to your averages. I'd like to see more than 15.
Tony, you say must win. What does that really mean in the end? What's the consequence if you don't win, right? I mean, I think that's what people say. Well, the consequence maybe should be coaching staff changes, players getting benched. And those are reasonable. Those are football consequences. And ultimately, you'll reach a tipping point where those consequences become real. But in terms of must win. Well, these guys must show up and play week 6, and they must show up and play week 7, and on and on and on. So the season doesn't end regardless of what happens. But I from the standpoint of what you're saying, of gettable games, how many more are more gettable than this one on the schedule? I would agree wholeheartedly. Please do not put us through that show next Monday if this team is 1-4, losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, and with where the fan base is, I'd say this is something close to what you could categorize as a must-win for Gus Bradley.
Based on the reaction on Monday's show, the venom?
Look, I get that we talk to fans that are usually upset. Like, those are the people that are usually going to call in, text in, do all those kinds of things, at least more often than the people that are okay with whatever's going on. I get that part of it, but the fans are sliding away from Gus. The players, I think, are still solidly behind him. I don't know how much more finding ways to lose they could take, though. inside that locker room. It could change the way they feel inside, too.
Still to come, a little bit more from Gus, a little bit from Bob Babich as we get you ready for the Jags and the Buccaneers this weekend. Fan Feedback Spotlight asking you today, what are your three keys to victory for the Jaguars? It's brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live at EverBank. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
You know, the good thing is he got a half a game in last week, you know, so that really helped. And, you know, he's gotten a lot of reps this week, and, you know, he's been, I can't remember when we exactly moved him at one time. I believe it was just Otto. Then we got him flexed, you know, playing Mike and Otto. He's done a good job this week. It's a great opportunity for him.
The opportunity for Thurston Armbrister could be there in a big way on Sunday, Tony. Is he up to the job is the question. Like Paul Posluszny's been pretty solid this year, and I think he could be significantly missed this weekend. Doug Martin got it going this past week. I think the Bucs are going to try to run the ball on the Jags a little bit. I don't know how much success they're going to have. Jags have done a solid job against the run. Really, you look at Frank Gore last week, and you take out that long run in overtime. In regulation, he really didn't get anything going. And you watch him last night, 98 yards. Came pretty easily against the Houston Texans. So I think the Jags' run defense has been pretty solid overall.
I do too.
What do you think about Armbrister this week?
He's not Posluszny. I'll say that. And I think that Puz is part of the reason why the run defense has been as good as it has been. Puz, by the way, listed as questionable officially on the injury report today, which is the same designation, happily, that you got for both Cindric Marks and Julius Thomas. I don't expect either of those guys to play, but it's fun to see him on an injury report as questionable.
Yes.
I think Puz is really, really good against the run. And I'm curious to see, you know, Cyprian played a really good game last week. I'm curious to see who develops as kind of the leader on that defense. You know, if Puz isn't the guy that can go, then who steps up into that kind of role for them on that side of the ball? Because he does provide that. And you saw him in the run game last week. They got worse. When Puz came off the field, they weren't as good with Armbrister on the field. Now he's got a week to get ready for this game, and he's taking the first team reps. So certainly an opportunity for him, and hopefully he takes full advantage of it because they need it.
Bob Babich also talking yesterday, saying he has a lot of respect for what Jameis Winston brings to the football field.
I think Jameis has a lot of talent. I mean, things, you know, last week didn't work out, I'm sure, like he wanted to, but, you know, he has a lot of talent, and they're putting the offense in his hands. He does some checking and stuff like that. So, and I know that they did some things last week, I think, that helped him once, you know, they got off track a little bit. I think they did some things to help him get back on track, and, you know, so have a lot of respect for him.
Look, he's got talent, but I think his greatest drawback right now might be his confidence, his overconfidence. Right? Blake Bortles talked about that. It's tough to learn as a young guy that every play you're not trying to win the game on every play. You're not trying to put the team on your shoulders on every single play. There are times when it's better to throw it out of bounds and punt rather than take the sack or maybe force the ball into coverage. Those are things that you learn over time. 7 picks on pace for 28 this year. Let's hope he keeps up that pace.
Sure. Let's hope that he doesn't learn that lesson for at least another 5 days or so.
Right.
When it comes to this season. Gus Bradley last night on the Gus Bradley Show as well. One last cut from him here today on the show. He talked about the leadership in the locker room after what has been a really tough 2 weeks.
I like the guys in the locker room as far as that. I think that accountability takes practice too. You know, that's the other part of it. And I think these guys, you know, especially on the offensive side, that's with our conversation, you're seeing them individually mature. And Allen Hurns getting better. You're seeing Allen Robinson from the first game where we're talking about multiple drops to now where they're playing, you know, at a pretty high level. So you're seeing those things take place. A TJ Yeldon, a Blake playing more consistent. You know, he's had, what, one interception in 3 games. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing that part of it. But now the challenge is, all right, that's great, but we need to operate that way and see that growth as a unit. And these communication things and the penalties and things like that are showing up, that's what we need to attack now. And, you know, you sense it to this week. You see the players are saying, all right, it's the next step now. For us to play consistently, we have to be on the details. And that's really been the approach this week.
That penalty total, man, it's staggering. You look, Tony, last night. Same thing, 13 penalties by Houston. Okay, just like the Jacks, Houston outgains the Colts by over 100 yards.
Right.
Time of possession. Now, they didn't win the turnover battle. It was 2-0 in the Colts' favor, but the Jags had it in their favor last week. But so many similar things except the scoreboard at the end of the day, and penalties were a big part of that process last night. They had an interception in the end zone of Hasselbeck, overturned because of a penalty.
Yeah.
They have Jadeveon Clowney sticking his finger in somebody's ear hole. I think it might have been Hasselbeck's, or it could have been Gore's. I forget who he was tackling.
It was Gore.
Was it Gore?
Yeah, it was on the side.
Right, they initially ruled it a face mask, yeah. And then the ref made the call on the next penalty and said, oh, by the way, last play, finger in the ear hole or something like that, the helmet opening or something like that. So they shot themselves in the foot, and the Colts now have benefited from a ridiculous 26 penalties against them or against, you know, their opponents committed against them over the last 2 weeks. All right, who do we have on the line, Tyler? I forgot. Who we have one more in the pipeline? Let's get Mac in here before we get to the fan feedback spotlight. Hi, Mac. How are you?
Hey, fellas. Here are the facts. Gus is 8-28, three times more losses than wins. Here's another fact. I'm a current season ticket holder. Here's another fact. I'll be on the Bold City Brigade bus going to Tampa this Sunday. Now, here are my opinions. Too early to cut Gus Bradley in his third year. Next year, if he's not 9-7, fire his ass. And there you go, man.
All right, Mac. Thank you. 9-7 next year. Is he saying this year or next year?
Next year.
Right. If you don't, okay. Hey, look, did you hear, you know, we do those little, the best of whatever show, and you hear a little clip of their show, right? The XL Primetime had Gene Deckerhoff on yesterday.
Yeah.
And Gene Deckerhoff,
oh, I heard it too.
Oh,
I
my
was
God.
Like, what?
Gene Deckerhoff's like, yeah, I really like this Bortles guy, and da da da, and, you know, and I think, you know, with Jameis Winston and Tampa, and with, Blake Bortles in Jacksonville, I think, you know, both of these teams could be, contending for a playoff spot in, 3 or 4 years. I really believe that.
I might have, like, if I was a Jags fan driving around town, I might have crashed my
contend
car.
Contend for a playoff spot in 4 years. Gus's successor will be looking for a job at that
Dane,
point. Are you kidding me?
Dane, it's been since 07.
Oh, my gosh. It fired up for us, Tyler. This is look, this is not a knock on the XL Primetime guys. It was a good interview that they did yesterday. But Deckerhoff, set your sights a little higher. Let's fire it.
The Best of XL Primetime Replay is brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists, helping you be the best when you play.
Gene Deckerhoff, voice of the Bucks.
You guys got a great quarterback over there in Jacksonville, Blake Bortles. He's going to have a phenomenal career. He's got the big size, he's got the strong arm. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see the Jaguars and the Buccaneers 3-4 years down the road contending for a playoff spot.
Noon to 3 on 1010XL.
What?
Contending?
Contending?
Oh,
mate,
my
I wouldn't be
goodness.
Surprised, Tony. Not that I'm guaranteeing it, but
3 years, Jags fans.
In 3 or 4 years. I wouldn't be surprised.
2017, 2018, we'll be in the thick of this thing.
Hang around the wild card conversation into December, 4 years from now. So, boy, come 2019, baby, when who's coaching the team in 2019 at that point? It's the guy, the you don't replace the legend. You're the guy who replaced Gus Bradley's replacement right. At that time, right? Because if that's the direction they're going, it's going to be a lot of turnover.
I love you, Gene, but come on, buddy.
Come on, Deckerhoff. You're better than that, or are you in this instance? Fan Feedback Spotlight, Tony, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships today, looking for the three keys to victory. What you got?
Here's from Brian. Score, put pressure on Winston, and score some more. From Andy, stop Martin, hurry Winston, use tight ends in the end zone. From Jason, don't let Jameis ever feel comfortable. Let Blake be Blake. Let him ball, and let number 59 play, for crying out loud. I wouldn't mind seeing Ryan Davis's role expand myself. From Brian, turnovers, points in the second half, and no dumb penalties. From T-Mock, run the ball, turnovers, touchdowns, not field goals. Hashtag Tampa Takeover. From Eric, run Yeldon, protect Blake, and find some way to make turnovers happen. From Immortan Stuff, win for the praise of Immortan Joe, win, and we will be carried to Valhalla.
You had to tell me that was a
Fury Road, baby.
Yeah, Fury Road reference. Even though I watched it once, I thought he misspelled immortal.
No, Immortan Joe. From Jared, blitzing a turnover-prone rookie quarterback has to be in the game plan. If not, by Felicia. I don't know who Felicia is. From Joey, take the ship, raise the BCB flag, and fire the cannon. A hashtag BCB Denver. From Irish Jaguar, scare the bejesus out of Jameis. Figure out the red zone. Take heart from the BCB Army. From Wiggleman, screwdriver, pliers, and some duct tape. from Nick. Score at least 20 points, get points on defense, don't miss field goals at the end of the game. Hashtag Tampa takeover. From Daniel, keys to victory. Yeldon scores a touchdown. That would be his first. Defense gets a turnover, make field goals. From Eric, Bortles, Bortles, Bortles. Seriously, it's a game he needs to will to win and not rely on the kicker's leg. From Duval Doom, blitz, blitz, blitz! I think that's how he meant it. From Clarence, play all four quarters, period. From Black Dog, smoke Winston, snuff out their run game, and do a Maui Wowie with Alu Alu.
You get that, Winston, snuff, Maui Wowie, all your different substances.
From Chris, win turnover battle, win the trenches, and better second half adjustments on offense and defense.
All right. I like the one, the yell to score, get the turnover, and I couldn't remember what the third one was because I have a small pea brain. But anyway, the Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, which, by the way, are in the middle of their fall CPO sales event, as low as 0.9%, 0.9% APR on all certified pre-owned models and one-year complimentary scheduled maintenance on select CPO models as well. Plus, Tom Bush, our friends over there, want you to know that they are doing their part to sponsor and participate in Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, the walk benefiting the American Cancer Society. They are participating in that walk. Also a sponsor of Project Pink with the Florida Times Union as they work together to spread awareness for Breast Cancer Month all across the First Coast. All right, that does it for us today. For John Osier, for stopping by, we appreciate that. From Jaguars.com, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and for Joe Fortunato. That wraps things up here at Everbank. Go out and get the W, Jags. Please, 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 please get the W this weekend. Don't care how it comes, as long as it doesn't come at the expense of, say, the health of your quarterback or something like crazy like that for the rest of the year. Claude Nolan Cadillac, our longtime Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Appreciate those guys. ClaudeNolan.com is the website. 4700 Southside Boulevard is the locale. Stop in. Tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. You're going to love it at Claude Nolan Cadillac. 642-5111. Get the Claude Nolan Edge. Absolutely no dealer fees. They're going to save you a boatload. Get in. Get on board the elegance and experience of driving Cadillac one step away. Build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com. That does it for Jaguars Today. Tony and I are going to depart shortly, head over to CW17 and film Your Jacks Fantasy Football, which will air tomorrow night at 11 and Sunday morning at 11:30 on CW17. So look for us there if you've got those fantasy lineup questions burning a hole in your pocket. At MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Fat Tony on Twitter. Have a great weekend. Go Jags.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo! Let's go, Jaguars.